Welcome to Mind Mastery and Manifestation, the number one podcast helping you rewire your mind to erase fear, unlock your greatest potential, and get the extraordinary relationships, businesses, and lives you've always wanted. We're your hosts, Dan Mendelo
and Sophie Kessler.
Hey guys, welcome back to the Mind Mastery and Manifestation podcast. I've got another very special interview today for you guys. This guy is a rock star. His name is Lauren Michaels Harris. He was my speaker coach for a while as well, helping me craft my message. And that's really his zone of genius. His ability to not only express himself in a magnetic and piercing way, he teaches people how to do it. He teaches people how to become speakers and how to impact other people himself or themselves. And his view of life, his view of speaking, his view of what makes a person truly valuable to their audience is something really unique. And so I think you're going to absolutely love Lauren. I'm excited to have him on here. Lauren, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me, Dan. It's great to be here.
Of course. So, dude, your backstory is epic. I really mean that. Can you give us a little bit of the idea of how did you get to here? You weren't always a world-class, traveling around the world speaker, highly sought after, creating all of these beautiful organizations. And we'll get into some of the amazing events that you have coming up. So tell us how you started with all this.
Well, I started like most things that actually end up coming to fruition. And that is, I just started. A lot of people, I almost became one of them, where it was like I could have easily still been sitting on my thumbs, if you will, reading every how-to book on how to be a speaker, how to hone your message, how to, but never actually being actionable. And I now pretty much am a champion for a theory, a mindset, if you will, that I refer to as the make use of the pennies theory, which means all I really did was I started looking around, digging in the cushions of my life, digging under the seats of my life, the junk drawers, any place I may have stashed a penny or two. And what I mean by that is, what did I have? What do I have today in the moment that is of value? And so it forced me to go back to the beginning of my journey and start gathering value from my story. Because if you don't find a reason, which I now know that for me, the best way to find value is to look for ways to be immediately of service to someone or something other than myself. When I was looking for value based on providing something for me, that's not so easy all the time. I'm one of those underdog kind of people. Say, for instance, when I was a kid, they would get mad at me because I wouldn't stand up and fight for myself, but I sure would get up and stand for somebody who and fight for someone who was being bullied. So I've always had that stand up for the underdog kind of mentality, which was really that innate thing within me that was leading me to the real joy and key of doing what I do, which is what we all do as impactors, is be of service to others. So I really love youth and I love working with kids. And that was the part of my life that I felt I've had the least control over, being a product of the foster system and not having a say-so over so many things, that the natural go-to for me as far as being of service to others was working with kids. Not only just trying to affect some type of change wherein it pertains to the way things are done in this country with the foster system, but just kids in general, about dealing with low self-esteem and the choices that we make as kids and those feelings we often experience of being powerless, all those things, and being bullied, quickly becoming the bully, all of the above. And so I just got started. I really did. Really, it boiled down to finding the courage, summoning the courage, because it's always there. But when we enact things like the law of attraction and all of the effects, the domino effect, the ripple effect, the boomerang effect, all of those bring something back full circle. So once I started tapping into those and then combined it with working diligently to eradicate my world of words that deceive, that is meaning repeating things to myself that I had overheard or been told by abusers or people that didn't have my best interests at heart all those seasons of early childhood, teenage years, young adulthood, all through and through. I had to get rid of those words. People always giving me directives. Oh, don't worry, you'll get over it. Oh, don't worry, you'll find a way around it. Well, one of these days, you'll dig yourself from underneath it. When really, those were all words that deceived. Those were all GPS coordinates, if you will, that led me everywhere but where I needed to go. They may have led me to places I wanted to go or thought I wanted, but they never led me to where I needed to go. And that was directly through whatever situation that was continually holding me back, bringing me back to the same place over and over again. And so it wasn't until I decided to see what it was like to actually go through something. Because once you go through something, now you know something. And the minute you become an authority on something and you realize the purpose within it, the natural next stage is to want to show someone. So you go because you know, and now you show. So all those things just started to come together, and it's just been a true blessing and a roller coaster ride that I wouldn't trade for anything in the world. And here we are today.
There's so much in what you just said as well. And I want to start with something that I don't know if every listener caught, that you grew up in the foster system, and that can be, as you mentioned, they're really abusive, and kids can grow up feeling disempowered or hopeless or helpless. How did you overcome that? What happened that allowed you to go from a system that typically lets people know that they don't have any value, they're not really worth anything, to a point where you became healed and then taught other people? What was that turning point?
Well, the turning point for me was once I aged out of the system, and a few years after getting out, I started a quest to find several of the boys who had been beneficial to my growing and making it out of that system. And I wanted to find out what happened to them and let them know how grateful I was. But unfortunately, after a couple of years of a lot of detective work, if you will, and seeking and searching, I found out, unfortunately, that not any of those three boys made it out of the system alive. So immediately I felt a need to share their story because I couldn't tell them. The only other choice I truly had was to tell the world on their behalf, for them, to speak for them. And so it was through trying my attempts or desires to be of service to them and their impact on my life is how I found my way to being an impact on others' lives through my own life. So it's a kind of a roundabout way, but again, it speaks to that universal promise, like Zig Ziglar said, you know, when we truly get up and we try to make it about other people, we find out that we get everything that we could have ever needed. That was it for me. And then, of course, constantly running into kids and hearing their stories and that not much has changed. The needle of change hasn't moved nearly at all in 40-some years. And I thought that was a darn shame. So at this, when you come through something like that, and you think that you don't have anything of value, when you get that chance to just see if there is something, because it all has to make sense. You want things to make sense. So I got to that point, that tipping point in my life where I just heard a voice. I really did. I heard a voice telling me that now was the time to bring everything that I'd ever lived. Now was the time to bring everything that I currently was. And it was also the time for me to grab and bring to the table everything that I could ever hope to become. And that is how I found myself smack dab, what I refer to as being in the arms of purpose. I was able to see that I lived everything for a reason. You know, it's like I'm a human scrubbing bubble. I did that so someone else wouldn't have to. And that's what gets me up. That's what keeps me going. And that's what keeps me looking forward to the next person, the next kid, the next foster parent or whomever that I can share my story with that can make their day and their story just make a little bit more sense. So it's the power of we. It's the power of we, and you know about that.
I do. Guys, if you haven't seen it, Lauren has started this thing. It is blowing up already. It's going to keep on blowing up. It's called The Power of We. I was lucky enough to be a guest speaker in that last year, and it was a spectacular event. We brought in how many inner city kids from Chicago?
200.
200 inner city kids from Chicago, and amazing speakers, just one after another, each one bringing in a different kind of energy, each one with a different set of perceptions and values and lessons and personal magic. It was extraordinary, absolutely extraordinary. And the next one, and it's coming up April 5th in Atlanta.
That's a Friday.
That's going to be amazing. I started seeing little messages about the speakers that you're going to have there. It's going to be incredible.
It is. Really looking forward to it. We feel so much better about it now because we have proof of concept, and mainly in part to people like yourself who really just came and showed up and showed out and gave these kids something that they'll never forget, a one-of-a-kind experience. And the fact that each speaker comes with their own particular superpower, that thing that they reached for each and every time as a kid, that they found themselves sitting in that table of loneliness or despair or whatever it was for them. They used whatever it is they came to talk about. In your case, it was the power of harmony, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Just a brilliant presentation. People are still talking about what you did that day.
Thank you.
I can't wait for you to see the footage.
Me neither.
I've been waiting. we waited on purpose so that we could leverage all of that wonderful, wonderful momentum from the Power of We Chicago to help us get as many kids as possible and supporters to the Biltmore in Atlanta come April 5th. So I want to thank you for everything you brought. It was just life-changing. And it's all that energy under one roof. It was far more than brick and mortar. Yes, the venue was gorgeous, but the energy that everyone brought, the kids, the supporters, the mentors, the speakers, everybody, it was just proof of the universal promise that where two or more of us gather, incredible things will happen. So yeah, the Power of We Symposium, proving that together we can all do a whole lot more than we could ever alone and individually. So we hope to get you back, actually.
I would love to. Yes. I had a blast the last time, man. I would love to help you with that as well.
Thank you. Thank you. And,
sure.
So anyone who's interested in learning more about what the Power of We Symposium is all about, feel free to go to our website, which is powerofwesymposium.com, or you can hit up our Facebook page or just PM me from my personal page if you want. But there's stuff all over, and we would love for you to be a part of, whether it be a mentor, a supporter from the audience. Perhaps you know some kids that deserve to be celebrated, because that's what this is. We bring in kids and everything from a red carpet entrance to the step and repeat and great swag bags and just getting the kids all together where we can sit and celebrate everything that they are and everything that they hope to be and remind them that their dreams are alive, not only within their mindsets, but within the minds and hearts of all these supporters that are there to give them real life encouragement, uplifting, and edification. So let us know. We'd love to see you there. Love to see you be a part of this.
Yeah, really look into this. This is such a beautiful, beautiful event. One of the things that really struck me there is the idea that it doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter where you come from. It doesn't matter whether you came from wealth or connections or not. You have a place in this world and you have gifts that people need. And you can make a difference and you can make this world an even better place. And you can change your life around and create whatever you want. But here's the thing. I mean, even people hearing you saying that you have this really rocky upbringing and then fell into the arms of purpose and changed everything. I know if I was listening to this interview years ago, I would have said, you know what? I feel like I have something big. I feel like I have some more in me. I feel like maybe I've heard the call, but I can't do that. That's you. You know, you're special. You had something that I don't. I hear it, but I can't do anything. You know, what can I do to start turning things around for myself? And what would you say to someone like that?
Well, it's actually pretty cut and dry. Same thing I tell anybody. whether it's someone coming for potential coaching or mentoring, or someone in that comes up afterwards after a speech or something and they want to talk to you privately. Every great story, whether you're an evolutionist and you believe in the Big Bang Theory, or if you're a creationist and you believe in the story of creation, both of those, the stories begin with either once upon a time or in the beginning. And it's important that we all go back to the beginning. Because, you know, a lot of the choices for us were already being formulated, were already being made before we had even had a voice in it. I know in my particular case, I didn't crawl out of my bassinet at a week old and tell my birth mother and family, you listen, I'm out of here, forward my Pampers and crawl away. I didn't do that. But those decisions were made for me. I always tell people this, is that if you are having a difficult time believing that your purpose is something that this world cannot do without, it really needs everything that you were created for, look at your fingerprints. They're there where you can just turn your hands over and look at the swirls and know. When you, and none of us questions the fact that our fingerprints are the only set like that in the universe. Our DNA, if you need something beyond what you can see in front of you, skin cells, bodily fluid, a follicle of hair, any one of those dropped anywhere in the universe is proof yet again that will lead directly back to whomever it came from. It won't be a toss-up between this person and that person. It will be one definitive person. And people look at that and they know, okay, yeah, these two things, DNA and fingerprints, yes, they establish that I am unique. Okay, big deal. It is a big deal, but not as big a deal as that third one. Because unfortunately, when we transition to whatever you believe to be next, after this world, in other words, when we die, our fingerprints and our DNA, all of it dies with us. We only have one thing to prove that we were here, and one thing that has the potential to live on forever. And that is, those are our stories. But only if you write a classic. And we all have that opportunity. We all have been writing a classic. But writing a classic by living it is a lot different if you're not willing to tell it as a classic. And what I mean by that is, you know, that cutting and pasting, offering the world a version. Well, if they knew this about me, then they wouldn't like me. Well, I definitely can't let them know I went through this. Or what would they think of me if they knew that? And when we start changing the truth, well, it's no longer the truth. And that's the beautiful thing about the truth, is that it's the only thing in the universe that will never change. And it will never change on us. So your truths are very important. I always tell the kids all the time, you know, it's almost like the movie, The Wizard of Oz, you know, when Dorothy, when it's about to transition from black and white to color, she's gone through, the house has been through all the turmoil and landed wherever. And she finds that door and she kind of opens it and peeks in and she sees what's awaiting her on the other side, the land of the munchkins. Everything's in color. But does she just rush in and leave us over on the black and white side? No, she doesn't. She turns around and she looks at us and then she grabs the door handle and she moves out of the way as she opens the door, as if to say, after you. And I believe that's exactly what each of us needs to do with our particular truths. Whatever it is that you've had to live and been made to live, whether you chose it or not, every day you have to show up and you have to look at your truths directly in the eye. At every door of opportunity, every opportunity intersection, wave your hand to those truths and say, after you. Let them go in first. It's not about fancy music or what kind of outfit you're hitting the stage in or how many seats are in the audience. If your story is just as important and powerful and impactful to one person as it is 10,000 people. Because if we speak to 10,000 people and we change one life, then that was one life that was worth it. It was meant to be. And so how do we know that that one seat that is occupied isn't that one person? So you have to give it all you've got and be grateful. It is an honor to ask people to sit back and allow us to step inside their mindset, to have access to their hearts and their dreams. And so I take it very seriously. I really do. And another thing is that I always look for a way or ways to provide those things that when I reached out in search of them, they weren't that easy to get my hands on. where was this answer? Where was this person? Where was this type of service to let a person know that, listen, you're not the only one. You will make it through. All I needed half the time was a little encouragement because someone had could tell me, oh, I remember that place. I've been in that room. I've walked on that carpeting and I've touched those walls. I know what they feel like. I know what you're thinking, but it will get better. This too will pass. And so that's what it's all about. And once I started doing that, like I said earlier, you know, it seems that everything, all those promises that we hear about, that you don't have proof, but you hope with all within you that it's true. The law of attraction, karma, that if I just keep going, it's going to all come together. And it will. And it does. But it comes together through being of service to others. And there's no two ways around that. The Brady Bunch got canceled for a reason. So get rid of that Marsha mentality. Not the power of me, it's the power of we. And when you do things to be of service to others, you're doing it to yourself. It's as simple as that, right? You know this too.
There are a couple of things there that I want to highlight and just make sure that we all sort of got it. One of the things there that it sounds like is what you're saying is that it doesn't really matter where you come from. A lot of times people will look at their past and see what they don't have or see trials, tribulations, challenges, struggles, and they see them as negatives. But what I hear you saying, correct me if I'm wrong, is that the moment you accept them and use them and actually have that part of your story, knowing that other people will connect with it, other people have probably gone through something like it, and they're also looking for someone else to make them feel like they're not alone, to make them feel like they have a community, that they have other options. Right. So it's like when you come and lead with those and let people know with confidence, this is who I am. And yet this is what I'm doing and this is where I'm going. Then you can start impacting people because of that connection. It needs to start with one. It doesn't need to be this world changing thing coming right out the gates. You don't even need to change five people coming right out the gates. All there is just one person at a time. And as long as you can do that, then everything will start. You have the momentum, you're building it, and then you're helping other people. And you have no idea. I mean, maybe that one person that you're influencing will, and by themselves, go and change the world in some profound way. And they were looking at their beginnings and saw you there. And so maybe that one person is all you need in order to change the world as well.
Well, that's it. I'll tell you what did it for me. Was the very first time I got on a stage and told my story, that same video from that night. You know, it started with one person. I'll never forget it. And I post the picture every now and then. I think I reposted it last week, but when I got into a couple magazines that first year for foster care and adoption, it was that photo that they used. I'll never forget. It was a woman who came up to me after the speech about my having had 22 mothers and the foster care, and it wasn't about all the negatives. It was about the realization that each one of those 22 mothers was chosen to play a particular role within my life at that particular time. And so there were no mistakes. Were all of them the type of mother that would have been nominated for a Mother of the Year award? Absolutely not. But were they all horrible monsters that should have never even seen, been left in a room alone with a kid? Absolutely not. And that night, when I told my story, which was not easy, I was nervous, I was fearful, I felt less than, I was tempted to run from the stage at three separate occasions, on three separate occasions, and the girl next to me kept telling me, just calm down, it'll be fine, just tell your story. And the woman that came up to me afterwards, and they show the picture of both of us holding hands, and she's leaning in, and I'm intently listening. But what people will never know, and I wish they, when they looked at that picture, because everyone loves that picture, but they don't have any idea of what she is saying to me. And she's saying to me, she goes, I came here tonight with a friend of mine whose husband has stomach flu and couldn't come with her. I was a last minute stand-in and I didn't want to come because I should be at home making a decision that I have to have made by 9 o'clock tomorrow morning. She goes, my husband and I have three of our own biological children, but we have been fostering three siblings. Tomorrow, we've had them for almost a year. And tomorrow is the last day. We either need to tell the system and the caseworker that we want to adopt these three siblings and keep them together, or tomorrow when they leave our home, they each go their separate ways. They may never be back together again. Wow. And I'm here tonight because I just thought I needed to get out of the house so I wouldn't be caught up in this, because I didn't feel coming here that it was the right decision, or I wasn't sure. She goes, but I'm here to tell you how grateful I am for your story, because I now know that I was intended, and my husband was intended, and our three kids, we were all intended, the five of us, to be a family to these other three kids. And I'm going home and I'm telling all of my family that we are going to be a family from this day forward. And it's because I came here tonight. And I'll tell you, you could never, ever imagine that you would be the catalyst to a decision like that simply by telling your story. But the moment I did hear it, it moved me, the messenger, out of the way of the message. And I've never chosen to step back in front of it again. I stay in my lane, and I realize now that opportunities like that one were chosen for me, just as I was chosen for that opportunity. She didn't wander in off the street just looking for something to do to kill some time, and I didn't just wander up on a stage and start talking arbitrarily at a microphone. We were all chosen to cross each other at that particular moment, at that particular time, in that particular place, to choose and to make a difference. Because, you know, Dan, when you experience purpose, it's just like when you hear the truth. You should only need to hear the truth once. You really shouldn't have to be convinced over and over and over. That's what I love about my friend Jason Cisneros. He only says something to you one time, because he figures if you're seeking the truth, then you'll know it when you hear it. And if you don't hear it the first time, why should I keep trying to drum it into your thick skull? Because what's going to be different between numbers 1 and 25? If you're not looking for the truth, it won't sound like the truth, and it won't land on your spirit like the truth can. It won't hit its mark. Because there's a reason they say the truth has a ring to it. But you have to be listening for it. You have to be seeking it. You have to be knocking on that door. When you experience something like that one time, there is no unhearing it. There is no unfeeling it. There is no unknowing it. You really feel like you are in the presence of purpose. Wow. I felt like the old version of Urkel. Did I do that? It's quite humbling, because I went home that night knowing what I was responsible directly for helping manifest. And that was keeping three kids from being separated, keeping three kids from ever wondering when they landed in bed number 250, what was in one of these other rooms waiting on them. What was working its way towards them? What type of atrocities or horrors would await them at this particular place? Because it was something we worried about every time they moved us. That was powerful. That was when I became a true believer in purpose. And I was like, wow. It was like the first time you ever go first class on a plane. You never want to go back across the aisle to coach. It's that wonderful. And everybody has that potential. Everybody, everyone. Everything that you've gone through establishes you as an authority. You can speak on it because it didn't kill you. Here you are. I hate that when people say, oh, the only reason Lauren's gotten all those speaking gigs or this and that, well, it's because he's got that horrible story. No, it isn't. What's happening in my life and what allows me to help other people isn't because I had all those abusers. What helps me help others are the solutions that I was taught through those abusers, how to stand across that valley now and point over to them and say, you know, even though you told me 4 decades ago that because of what you were doing, it was proof that I wasn't worthy of being loved and was not capable of ever loving, you tried to convince me because you needed my silence. You tried to convince me to never talk about it, because I would only hear people echo what you've already told me. But what you really told me, what you really taught me, was patience. Because of you, I didn't give away my ability to love unconditionally. I protected it until I found myself face to face with my soulmate, my everything. That is how I knew the day I met the person I married that I would be with that person or wanted to be for the rest of my life instantly. Because you taught me patience. You taught me to wait for what was meant for me. You taught me to wait on purpose. The foster system, yeah. Was it broken then? Is it broken today? Absolutely. But even they taught me. They taught me that everything that I ever experienced within that system provided me with a voice today to be able to stand up and demand change where kids cannot stand up for themselves. I stand up today because I experienced the same things 40-some years ago, and they're still happening today. How would they know what happened 40 years ago? They weren't alive. But I am an authority, and I can stand up and say, what you're feeling, how those trash bags make you feel, is right. I felt the same way. And I didn't even have to worry about the digital imprint of my history, my story. I didn't have to worry about somebody taking a picture of me getting out of a state car with a big emblem on the door, being shot around the new school before I could even make it to my first day of classes. I can't imagine what these kids deal with today, with bullying and all the different things. So it's not about me having a horror story and all those things. It's about the solutions, what it all means, how it looked then, as opposed to how it is today. We've all heard that, you know, our past doesn't define us. It refines us. It allows us to understand anything and everything we've been made to live through is a notch on our story's volume knob. The more that you've endured in your life, in your journey, the louder your voice can be, the further your message can carry. And I really believe that. A lot of people think I'm just talking when I say this, but it's the truth. I love and I am so grateful for what I am able to do with kids today with the Power of We Symposium, the Next Impactor, and everything that I do, even the coaching and just standing in line at the grocery store when someone says, well, what do you do? And being able to say what I do, I would gladly go back, and I mean this, I would live every moment of everything that I used to think the last thing I would want to do is go back to the scene of any of those crimes. I would live every one of those moments over 1,000 times for 5 minutes of what I live today, because it is that wonderful. When you hear stories like that woman, and she tells you that, thank you, because I was brought here tonight to hear your voice, to hear your story, to make this decision that will affect these three lives. Because those three kids now hopefully will go on and grow up and be happy and have families and sit down and tell their kids about the day that their life changed forever. All you need is one time for that experience of purpose to happen. And you should never have to be talked into it again.
I love that. I dig that message that you don't really need to wait for anything. You don't need approval. You don't need permission. You don't need anything. You're alive. You've gone through stuff in order to get where you are. And the crazy thing is now I'm starting to see like kid life coaches.
Yeah.
You know, teenagers who are coaching younger kids because they realize that, you think, teenager, how much life could you really experience? A whole hell of a lot. Right? A whole hell of a lot.
Yes.
And there are lessons and learnings and gifts in the struggle. And just by being still alive means that you've got a message. You've got a story that someone else needs to hear. And you'll never know who needs to hear it until you start telling.
That's right.
I love that. It's such a beautiful thing because I used to think that being a speaker, being a life coach, being whatever was some sort of crazy thing that happened to a select few, right? Or they would have to go through these insane stories and life experiences in order to be allowed to tell their stories to others and help them change their lives. And that's simply not true. So if you're listening to this right now, you have a story to tell. Someone needs you to tell it. And it doesn't matter whether it's friends, family, colleagues, random strangers, like Lauren was saying, you know, at the grocery store, or whether you've been feeling like you really need to talk to people on a stage or in a group and get your message out there. The time is now. There is no reason to wait any longer. It's time to take action. And step one, really accepting and embracing your story and where you came from and who you are and all of the darker and lighter things and everything in between. And then just start telling people what you've learned and what you've gained, where you're going and what you're working on, and get other people like Lauren has done, starting off speaking, and now he has a group of speakers around him and collecting these pockets of incredible individuals traveling the world and sharing their stories and making incredible impact. You can do this too. And if you want help, I really do encourage you to reach out to Lauren. He's an amazing teacher. One of the reasons that I think the presentation that I did at the Power of We was so impactful for people was because I worked with Lauren and we just happened to make an amazing team. And it was such an honor and a blessing to be a part of that and to tell my story and help kids.
I just want to say, because I'm going to tell you something, and I've already told all the other speakers, but your presentation was absolutely brilliant. It was one of the best things I've ever seen. And the thing about it is that I find so encouraging about your story is that it's not one of those, oh, my family died in a plane crash and I lost an arm. And yeah, you went through things. But comparatively to what some people think, what you did with that piece about harmony and how every instrument in the orchestra, if you guys, I can't wait to release this footage of Dan Mendelow's presentation, The Power of Harmony, because it was just, I can't even find the words. And that's the truth. I told you that the moment it was over.
You did. You did. That was very moving.
Yes. And that's just proof, Dan, that because I'm sure when we started it, you knew you had a story, but when you brought us into it like a story, it was like there's those books when we were kids that didn't have any pictures. And that was the last one I'd grab or reach for. I loved the picture. I loved the story where the teacher would turn the book around while we were in that semicircle on the floor. Mm-hmm. And then she would show the pictures to us and bring us into the experience of that story. I was that kid, and most of us are. And that's what we do with our stories when we tell them. If you watch a scary movie and you take the scary music out, it's almost laughable. But you put that da-da-da-da back in, you're grabbing, squeezing the people next to you, screaming, don't go in there, don't go in there, the killer's in there. It's a totally different experience. So when we tell our stories, and because you know, Dan, we forget, we don't give ourselves credit enough for everything that we've lived through and endured. And then we also don't know what we don't know. And we don't give ourselves credit for what we do know fully because we lived it. So we take it for granted. But when I hear some of the things that you endured, I don't know what it felt like because I didn't live that. It's just another thing. I was like, wow, at least I didn't have to go through that. You remind me that it could have been worse. So you look at someone, you go, wow, I would never have thought that he or she lived through that. I need to find out how you did it because I'm living with that now. So it's just, you get to hear, you learn just how far you've truly come when we share the good, the bad, and the ugly with each other. And with people that are like-minded, which means we're not judging each other. We're just like, oh, dude.
So important.
Mm-hmm. It's really important. So tell your story, share your story.
Yeah. There's something else that you're putting together that I think is going to be really exciting for budding storytellers. Can you tell us a little bit about the Next Impactor?
Oh, absolutely. The Next Impactor, the primary reason for that, it's a competition wherein the person who is crowned the Next Impactor in August here in Chicago at our finale will have worked their way from the hundreds of entries from around the globe following a series of challenges, a proof of concept, social media engagement. Is your message landing and being resonated with on the ears of the world? What are you doing? What's your service, your humanitarian component? How are you protecting your message and this opportunity to find your way into the hearts and minds of others? All these different things, challenging those of us to do the best we can with these opportunities we have, helping people see and gather the value in their life that they already have, and scooping all those pennies together and using them, realizing that if you don't use it, you're going to lose it. So just really helping that person move from wherever they're at to the very head of the class. Because I just got to be honest with you, we want to see more people in this industry who are vested in doing it for no other reason than being of service to others. This is no different than back in the 70s and 80s Yeah, Jim and Tammy Faye Baker. I'm just using them as an example. They sat on TV every day, convincing people that they were for the right thing, but we all knew later that that wasn't the case. And unfortunately, not every speaker that speaks is speaking from the right place, because it is a business where people think they bastardized what it should stand for. And it's hard for people to ascertain, who do I trust and who shouldn't I trust? And I'm tired of getting burned every time somebody, you know, they're into credit cards, routing numbers and account numbers. They're not into testimonials, success stories, seeing somebody get unstuck and move to their next better place. And so this is a way to show people something different, an opportunity. Yeah, there's going to be those thrill seekers, those people that come into this competition thinking, I'll be able to bluff my way through. No, you won't, because the truth has a ring to it. And if you don't bring the truth, it's not going to sound crystal clear to the ears and hearts of the rest of the world. The next impactor is going to be a person who moves through these next few months doing what they should be doing because they are called to do it, not because it's for some points or prizes or because there's a group of coaches watching. That's just what we need to set up to get people there. But that person and those people that come through, there will be no losers. Everyone will be a winner, because coming in there and getting to know each other and recognizing fellow teammates that are about the right thing, everybody's going to leave that experience feeling as if all these different types of cataracts will have been LASIKly removed by something greater than us. If you had cataracts of emotional nature, cataracts of a spiritual nature, because you just couldn't see it clearly enough. When you're around, other people can say, who can say, no, 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 look over in this direction. If you turn it towards the light just on this particular angle, oh, now I see it. There will be people who treat you like in the movie with Robin Williams, with Hook, when he found the Lost Boys and he was older, but they took his face and they, there you are, Peter. There will be people who show you that you really are still in there, and they may have just met you, but they see you, they feel you, and they get you. All these different things, because we are promised where two or more of us come together, that wonderful things will happen. So that's what the next impactor is. What you put in is going to determine what you get out. There's no magic wand. There's no coddling. We're not walking around burping babies all through the night. We're putting it out there. We're watching. If you need $500,000 worth of things to help you, because you know, a lot of people's biggest excuse, I don't have time, I don't have the money. Well, you know what? $25 gets you in this competition. Somebody in August in Chicago is walking away with $500,000 worth of resources. And there will be, just like on American Idol, Jennifer Hudson didn't win. She was not an idol, but she didn't stop her from going on and winning an Oscar, winning a Tony, winning an Emmy, winning a People's Choice. She went on. She'll be playing in the movie. She'll be portraying Aretha Franklin, because Aretha Franklin said, if it's not Jennifer Hudson, I don't want a movie about my life made. But Jennifer Hudson never won, but she's still someone who did something from that competition that no one has ever done and most likely will not. So we say there will be Jennifer Hudsons, just like there's going to be Carrie Underwoods and there's going to be Kelly Clarkson. Somebody's got to be first. So we just want people to come and be encouraged and help each other and encourage each other and encourage others and know that there is a place, and just know that you're going to be a pioneer. You're going to provide a set of shoulders to something one day. You're going to step in and you go, you won't believe this, but the very first year that they had that show, Grandpa here was in it. I was in it. I was, you were not. Yes, I was. So that's the kind of thing. We just want to impact change within ourselves, within each other, and then every place that we can get it to. So go to thenextimpactor.com if you'd like to learn more. The cutoff date for entries is March 15th.
Although, if you think that this is something that you even might want to participate, your time is now.
It's now.
Instead of waiting for some cutoff or anything like that, simply as soon as you can, hop on your phone or on a computer and just do it. Take the next steps and just launch yourself right into action. Immediate implementation is key. Lauren, how else can people reach you if they want to work with you one-on-one or just find out more about you?
Hit me up on Facebook. I'm not one to be afraid. I give out my phone numbers on everything. So you can, they can call me at area code 269-338-4246 because I love conversations. I don't like texting and all of that. Just give me a call. Let's just talk. Communicating with each other opens the door to the best type of relationship. We just kick it. So that's the best way. But there's Facebook, there's the website, laurenmichaelsharris.com, or any social media platform. I'm on all of them. So just reach out.
Awesome. And please do. If you're listening to this and anything in this conversation sparked something in you, resonated with something in you, then it means that you really need to look into that. You should explore that and use the resources that you have there. Lauren is an incredible, just never-ending well of wisdom and tools and strategies and heart. Get in touch with them. Reach out. Make it happen for yourself. The time is now to start telling your story. And I, for one, can't wait to hear it. So, Lauren, thank you so much for spending this time with me and sharing your story, sharing your passion. I think that the power of we and the next impact are going to change the world. And I cannot wait to see what happens with them.
Thank you, Dan. And same with you. Thank you so much for all that you do and for always being there and delivering 150%. That's one thing I can say about you. So thank you so much. Thank you for having me. I appreciate the opportunity.
Of course. It was a blast.
It was.
Guys, have an amazing rest of your morning, day, night, whenever you're listening to this. If you enjoyed this, please let us know. Share this out with people. Leave us reviews on iTunes. Hit me up personally. You know how to reach me. And I'd love to hear from you. All right, guys. Take care.